Welcome, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to one and all. Welcome to those on the phone, to those listening to the recording, as well as those that have tuned into WLMR Radio, and we appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us at this time. It's a wonderful time to be alive and also a very solemn time, as we know that all signs point to the fact that our Lord's coming is near. And so it's a time that should bring us to our knees in pleading with God for greater grace and strength to be able to remain faithful to the truth and be able to stand and confess our Lord regardless of the consequences. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. And the lyrics can be found on our website in the music section of our home church under hymns. And the actual link is lightministries.com/ID1897.htm. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. Being able to follow the Lamb of God wherever He goes throughout eternity all begins on this earth, dear ones. May we indeed follow the Lamb of God whithersoever He goeth, and begin right now. I ask that you please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be in our midst to continue to lead and guide us, to bring the atmosphere of heaven around each individual, and indeed, let us be filled with joy and praises to Thee. We pray, dear Savior, that Thy presence will also continue to be with us, to dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of Your righteousness and truth. And please fill our hearts with Your love, to where there's no room for love of self left. And thank You for doing so. And we pray, dear Spirit, that You will be here in our midst as well. Please continue to open our understanding to behold wondrous things out of the Word of Truth. And please increase our comprehension, that even if it's truths we've heard before, that we may be able to glean some other facet from the truth and thus be more edified by it. And thank You so much for doing so. Dear Father, we pray for all of those who have asked for prayer requests, both silent and open. We pray that You will hear and answer each one. Bring healing to those who need it. Bring spiritual healing to those who need that as well. And increase our faith and enliven our spiritual life, that we might indeed grow more in grace. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, this is part 3 of Becoming Righteous. And last time in part 2, we understood that since we cannot see this robe of Christ's righteousness covering us, then we're forced to believe that it has already been placed upon us, which takes faith. And that's why the Bible refers to this as being justification by faith, or righteousness by faith. And are we deserving of this? Of this cleansing, this justification, this righteousness by faith? Not in the least degree. We are deserving of condemnation and death, but we are enabled by grace to have our sins forgiven, to become justified and clothed with Christ's righteousness, not because we deserve it, but because it is given to us as a gift from the Lord, which purchased it for us by His death on the cross, his resurrection and then ascension to heaven, where he now stands as our high priest before God in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Now, we also learned that it was the Father who developed this plan of our salvation. He is the one who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that we might be saved from sin and death. And the Father is very earnest that we all should repent of our sins, be clothed with his Son's righteousness, and thus be saved from destruction. It is this precious robe of righteousness, this garment of salvation, this covering that the Lamb of God had to sacrifice his life in order to provide it to you and me, which enables us to have heaven as our home, because God sees us in this robe as being his sons and daughters, and no longer sees us as being the strange children of the wicked one. And in fact, anyone who does not have on this robe of Christ's righteousness will not be saved, because they do not have on the wedding garment necessary in order to be admitted to the wedding feast in heaven. So if we confess our sins, then how completely are we cleansed from sins? In 1 John 1:9, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. And this means that all our sins are washed away. All our filthy, sin-stained garments are removed from us, and we are then clothed with Christ's robe of righteousness. And quite amazingly, we are now accepted by God as if we had never sinned at all. We are indeed perfect and righteous without the spot or stain of sin, because God accepts us in his Son's perfect righteousness, and he does not look or investigate beneath this precious covering of the Lamb of God over us. Now, for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, these can be found on our website at lightministries.com/capital SDA/ID1444.htm. And if you look at quote number one, the Bible refers to this amazing miracle of transformation, going from being a defiled sinner into now being a perfect man or woman clothed in Christ's righteousness. The Bible refers to this transformation as becoming a new creature, a new lump, a new man, a new bottle, and it also refers to it as being born again. So then, after all of our sins are forgiven, we are justified and clothed in the precious robe of Christ by faith. We are accepted by God as if we had never sinned. We are indeed born again and become a new man or woman in Christ Jesus. Then what are we to do? Some believe that it doesn't matter what we do from then on, because once we're justified, then we're justified forever, even for any sins that we may commit in the future. But this idea is not what the scriptures teach. If you look at quote number two from Romans 3, verses 24 to 25 and verse 28. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, without the deeds of the law. So these verses told us that justification, or being made righteous, is only for the remission or forgiveness of all the sins that we have already committed. It is only for the sins of the past. So then justification is not a blank check which covers our continued sinning in the future. But justification is only good for our past sins. And being justified by God's grace comes to us as a free gift, without cost, without works. It is by faith alone. Now, if you look at quote number 3. So as this is the case, then what are we to do after we have been justified and cleansed from all unrighteousness, after becoming this new creature, this new bottle, this new born again man or woman in Christ, because we've accepted the gift of righteousness by faith alone? What are we to do after receiving this gift of righteousness? We're told in Galatians 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. And in Habakkuk 2, 4, the just shall live by his faith. So not only are we justified by faith alone, but now what are we to do in this justified condition? We are to now begin to live this new life. But before we were justified, we were dead in trespasses and sins, as we're told in Ephesians 2:1, if you look at quote number 4. But after being justified by faith, God has given us his grace, he's given us his strength and divine power to begin to live a new life. And so how are we to live our new life? We were told, by our faith. But now, what must we do with our faith? In Romans 5, verses 1 to 2 and verse 6, we're told, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what are we to do with our faith? We are to use it with grace to stand up. And in 2 Corinthians 1:24 we're told, for by faith ye stand. So then while we were living in sin, we were unlike God in character, or in other words, we were ungodly. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no strength to stand. But Christ died in order to justify and make us righteous so that we could exercise our faith and obtain the grace and strength, or the divine power necessary to live and to stand up. Whereas before we were converted, it was a righteousness by faith alone experience that allowed us to be justified and made righteous. But now, after we're justified and are converted, we now have access to the grace and strength found in Christ necessary for us to stand up and live a new life. Now, will God stand us up? No. God will give us through Christ all the grace and strength that we need in order to stand. But we must exercise our faith. We must put forth the efforts and grab hold of the grace and strength of Christ and then use it in standing up. If we just remain where we are, then we'll never stand up. We'll never live the new life. And thus, we'll die. So we must exercise our faith, grab hold of the grace and divine strength of Christ, and then use it to stand up. But the devil is ready to immediately attack any newborn Christian who tries to stand up. Satan hates this robe of Christ's righteousness. And he will do anything and everything he can to try and rob it away from us so that we will no longer be recognized as the children of God. And God realizes this. He's not caught unawares of what the devil is doing. So to help defeat the devil's plans, God offers all of his newborn sons and daughters some extra help, which will enable them to retain their robe of righteousness and not allow the devil to strip it off them. And do you want to know what this extra help God is willing to give each one of us? If you look at quote number 5, from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we are to use the strength and grace of God to put on this armor of God. And what's the reason why? So that we can protect this precious covering of righteousness that Christ has given us and avoid being hit and wounded by any of the wiles of the devil as we are standing up to live this new life. Now, what does this armor consist of? Continuing in Ephesians 6, and this is verses 14 to 18. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what protects this precious robe of righteousness around us? It's this armor of God. Without this armor around us, around this robe of righteousness, we're wide open for the devil to attack us and to try and strip it off us. But with this armor, we're much more protected against the devil's wiles and his traps. Now, if you look at quote number 6. Now, after we have successfully put on this armor of God and have stood up, then what are we then to do? In Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what are we to do while standing with the armor of God upon us? We are to use it to resist all the wiles or the temptations of the devil, to fend off all the fiery darts of the wicked, and to wrestle against all darkness and spiritual wickedness, no matter where it may be found, so that we can remain standing and not fall. So this means that we have to continue putting forth efforts in the strength and grace of Christ to fight against all these evil things whenever and wherever they come against us. We can never let our guard down. Now, through what are we to fight against evil with? Through our faith. Faith in who? Faith in ourselves, in our abilities, in how long we've been in the truth, in how much we know? No, dear ones. It's our faith in God and in His divine power to gain the victory in us. And we have God's assurance that He will not allow the devil to send so many darts against us all at the same time that we would have no chance to fend them all off. If you look at quote number 7 from 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So in other words, God limits the devil's ability to tempt us only to the point that we're able to endure it by relying upon God's grace and strength. All I can say, dear ones, is what a merciful Father we have the privilege of being the children of. Merciful and compassionate beyond explanation. Not only has He sacrificed everything for us, but He goes beyond and limits the power of the devil according to our ability in growth to handle. Just amazing and merciful love. But why are we having to do battle against all these evil things in the first place? One reason why is because the devil doesn't want to let us go. We were once his children. We were once the children of darkness, the children of disobedience, the children of sin and wickedness. But since we've longed for a better life and have chosen to escape from the hard taskmaster that the devil is, and have fled to Jesus Christ, then Christ has given us a change of clothing. God has accepted us as His children and given us shining armor with which to fight off the devil and his desperate efforts to try and get us back into the service of evil. That's one reason. But it's more than this. The last great evil day, or Jacob's time of trouble, is just ahead of us. So then the Lord allows just enough darts and temptations to come against us, so that we are forced to exert efforts to battle in His strength against all these evil things. And the more attacks that we successfully fend off, and the more victories we win, means that we are growing more proficient in living as being the sons or daughters of God that we are. So then as we fight, we grow in grace. We become stronger and stronger in the Lord, better prepared, and all so that we can remain standing and not fall and be lost during the last great evil day. That is why we're called upon by God to exercise our faith. And through our faith in God, granting us the grace and strength we need to grow, then we can fight against the power of evil wherever it is found, whenever it comes against us. So God allows these trials, these times of suffering, to get us prepared for what is coming. If you look at quote number 8 in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the evil of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And you know, dear ones, when we are successful in fending off the darts or attacks of the wicked one and have gained the victory, we feel so good and we're led to rejoice and glorify God who has helped us to gain the victory in his strength. But we need to fight in order to do what? The verse said, to lay hold upon eternal life. So then those who refuse to fight because they believe the false doctrine that while they sit back and relax, Christ will do all the fighting for them, will not lay hold on eternal life. They will be lost. So then we must exercise our faith. We must put on this robe of righteousness and stand up. We must fight against all of the attacks of the enemy. And we can't lay down our guard. We're to grow in grace. We're not to remain satisfied with the advancement we've already made and then don't advance anymore. We must continue to grow until we reach the full measure of men and women in Christ. And when Christ sees that we have become just like him in character, that his image is fully displayed in us, then he will come and take us home. So how are we to fight the good fight against evil? It's by faith. Now in this fight of faith, are we to remain standing in the very same place that we first stood up in? And the answer is no. If you look at quote number 9, from Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So then after we are standing in the armor of God and fending off the evil that comes to us, then we are to walk in the newness of life. But which direction are we to walk in? From Jeremiah 7, verses 23 to 24. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So this means that we are not to follow the ways of evil, the counsel of the imagination of our own hearts, and thus walk backward, but we are instead to walk forward by following all the ways of God, living by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, where are we to walk forward to? In Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So what are these old paths, and what is this good way that we are to walk in? In Psalms 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Psalms 119, verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. 2 John 1, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And the commandments that were given to us in the beginning are God's Ten Commandments. So then once we are standing justified and righteous by faith, after we have been clothed in the precious garments of salvation and covered with the armor of God, then we are to ask for and find and then walk in the old paths of truth, walking in God's commandments given to mankind in the beginning, the Ten Commandments. And we're to do this while continuing to resist all the devil's efforts to try and get us back into our past life of sin. So in doing this, we are actually keeping our justification and righteousness from being taken away from us. We are tenaciously holding on to these precious gifts and not letting them go. So I hope that you can see that this is not just righteousness by faith without works that entitles us to salvation, but it is also remaining righteous through faith by works and efforts in the strength and grace given us by God. So it's a blending of the two, righteousness by faith and continued righteousness through faith. So this grace and strength from God also comes to us as a free gift because Christ has purchased it for us. We cannot earn it, and we cannot work for it. It's given to us freely. But many have been taught that this grace only serves as a free ticket to salvation and eternal life. And so they again believe that all they have to do is just sit back and relax and let Christ do it all for them. But dear ones, this is not according to God's word. Listen to what God himself states is the real reason why he gives each of his people grace. Listen to the reason why. If you look at quote number 10, from Romans 1, verse 5. By whom, or by Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So why does God give us grace? So that we can obey the truth through faith. So this clearly shows us that grace is not given us so that we can sit back and relax and do nothing. But grace is given us so that we can, through faith, obey God's word unto salvation. So grace is given us so that we can obey God. Now, next time we'll be investigating more into this issue of our salvation being connected with receiving grace from God in order to render obedience to him. And I pray that God will continue to open our eyes and our understanding to behold this issue of our salvation. Our closing song is entitled, Fight the Good Fight. And it's found on our website in the hymn section at lightministries.com/ID168.htm. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Trust and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, His arms are near. He changes not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. So fight that good fight, dear ones. Lay hold on eternal life. Because Christ is thy strength. Christ thy right hand. And through Him, you can do all things, including overcoming all sin and remaining righteous in Christ. It's possible. All things are possible with God. Let us bow our heads and our knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we praise Thy holy name for Your infinite love, Your tender compassion, for making it indeed possible that individuals as weak as I am can indeed lay hold on eternal life by remaining connected with Jesus, who strengthens us. Father, we thank You that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, one day closer to being freed from the harassing nature of the devil and his agents, one day closer to being immortal and no longer mortal, no longer being in fallen flesh, but inheriting that incorruptible nature of sinless beings, and no longer having to deal with these desires of the fallen nature, but instead having our desires to be all good and righteous in praising God in love and adoration for Him that has done so much for us. Please help us to fix our goal on heavenly things, being with our God forevermore, dwelling in His presence where there is joy and goodness forevermore. Help us to truly see and understand how worthless the things in this world are compared to what You offer us. If we just remain faithful to You and endure this short amount of time left. Thank You so much for being willing to hire us in the very last moments of the season of harvest, and then paying us with the same reward as if we had been working from the first hour of the harvest. Thank You for Thy merciful kindness and tender compassion, and being unwilling that any should be lost, even those that come in at the very last moment of time. But Father, please help us to come in. Help us to accept our Savior before it's too late. Help us to give up everything in order to win our Lord. And thank You so much for making our salvation possible. Again, we thank You, Father, that this earth is being filled with Your glory, that the loud cry is going forth, and that people are indeed following it out of Babylon and entering into your kingdom of righteousness. Thank you that we have a part to play in seeking to save the lost and in being co-workers with thee in accomplishing this glorious purpose. And Father, I pray that you will multiply our efforts at reaching out to others with the truth, so that indeed we may have at least one star in our crown, one soul saved from destruction because of our efforts at reaching out to them. We pray for many more stars in our crown, not because we want crowns that are heavy or to show off to others, but we want more precious souls garnered to you, more of your sons and daughters brought back home. And we praise your holy name for using us, as unworthy as we are, to accomplish this purpose. So please help us to fight this good fight of faith. Let us run this straight race by laying hold of your grace and keeping ourselves yoked together with our Savior who leads the way. Help us not to become discouraged or to faint or to doubt, but to continue pressing the battle to the gate, even though we're battle weary. Let us not give up on the borders of the heavenly Canaan, but let us rouse ourselves and push forward in your extra strength and grace to finish our course. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And again, praise God for making our salvation possible, dear ones. Are there any questions, any thoughts, any comments, any songs that you'd like to sing or requests as we're now entering into our after church service? And please feel free to do so. There's a request to sing In the Garden. And I'll go ahead and start. And anyone else that would like to take a verse of this this beautiful hymn, please feel free to do so. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speak and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the bird hush is singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. With me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has. I stay in the garden with him. The lights around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe.
And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
We have another request. The one hymn we seem to be singing a lot of in this room, and that's okay, because it's a great hymn. You will see your Lord a-coming. Yeah, I love it, too. I love it, too. So, again, any that would like to take a verse, please feel free to do so. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. They will travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. They will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. They will spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord coming, you will see your Lord coming, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will see the saints arising in the glory. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Amen. And that band of music is indeed being heard today. The loud cry is going forth, showing us that our Lord's return is at the doors. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other hymns, any other songs, any other thoughts that you'd like to share at this time? And please feel free to do so.
This is one of my favorite hymns, and it's titled, Hold Fast Till I Come. Sweet promise is given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven. The kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come. We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day, as spring shows that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come. Yes, this is our hope, 'tis built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. A promise is all, 'tis dead as the sun. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
Amen.
Thank you, dear brother. Reading how I love to proclaim it, reading by the blood of the Lamb, reading through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Reading by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Reading, I'm so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the saint made perfect, a home where the Lord shall be. Reading by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. It shall we forever will be. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you for those wonderful songs. They have truly uplifted my heart, and thank you so much for doing so. Dear ones, I want to thank one all for coming and partaking in our service today. I pray that you will continue to fight that good fight of faith. Keep close to Jesus Christ. The time is indeed short, and the day is at hand of the coming of our Lord. And dear ones, our God is coming, whether we're ready or not. So let us indeed get ourselves ready. Let us indeed repent of our sins. Be cleansed and covered with the precious robe of righteousness. Put on that armor that God gives us to protect this precious robe. And then stand up and walk forward in all the words and ways of God. And advance. Lay hold on eternal life through the grace and strength that God gives us and works within us to accomplish, so that we might indeed be in the kingdom of heaven forevermore and not lost and burned up in the lake of fire and brimstone. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. It's Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. So may God bless, dear ones, until we meet again. Keep looking up and moving forward in the grace and strength of Christ.